Thank you very much. Well, Merry Christmas and welcome to all of you that are here. And we know that you have your TiVos and DVRs going for the Chargers game. We appreciate you being here. I'm going to read to you from the Gospel of St. Matthew, from the first chapter, chapters 1 and 2, briefly in chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham. And from there on down, it begins telling you all the people that were related to Jesus. And then down in verse 18, it says, verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity, when they were held captive in Babylon for 70 years, until David were 14 generations. And from the captivity, when it ended in Babylon, until Jesus Christ was born, are 14 generations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, which in those days would have been stoning for having become pregnant and not being married, minded to put her away privately. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, three wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was very troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem he is to be born of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he said to them to carefully search for the child, and bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also. And when he heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country, and they went another way. And when they departed, an angel of the Lord appeared again to Joseph in a dream, saying, listen, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled from the scriptures, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. And then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the little boys and the little children who were in Bethlehem, in all of its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. And then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. When Herod was dead, the angel appeared again in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." And then he rose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and there he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." How many times angels appeared, dreams were used by God to speak to Joseph. How many times we see the Holy Spirit enforcing and reinforcing the scriptures and the prophecies of the Old Testament. How exciting it is that we can hold an Old and New Testament together and we can see the prophecies in the Old and the fulfillment in the New. One thing I like about being a pastor is I get to be around the kids a lot. Not only at our schools, but around the Sunday school. And they're always on the campus or they draw pictures and give me pictures. And it's just always fun to be around the kids. They keep you young. And I always like their jokes. They bring you good jokes. And there's a lot of Christmas jokes circulating right now among the Sunday school. And one little boy said to me, he says, "Hey, Pastor Mike." I said, "Yo, what's happening?" He said, "What goes ho, 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 swoosh, swoosh? Ho, 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 swoosh, swoosh." I said, "I have no clue. What does go ho, 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 swoosh, swoosh?" And he's Santa Claus caught in a revolving door. I said, "Okay, all right." And then this little girl standing beside me says, "Hey, Mike, how about this? How do sheep in Mexico say Merry Christmas?" And I said, "How do sheep say Merry Christmas?" She said, "Feliz Navidad." Feliz Navidad. Feliz. You know, these wise men, from what we learn from history, were probably from the area of present-day Iran, Persians. The word for them is Magi. They were astrologers. They probably came from the Babylonian area, if not Iran. And, of course, astrology began in Babylon. And we know there's a war going on right now in the area of Babylon in the Middle East. And these wise men had traveled a long, long ways. We know by the scriptures that we just read that it took them about 2 years once they saw this star and started following this star. And the way we know that is that when they came to Bethlehem, it says, and they came to the house and they found the young boy and his mother. So he's no longer a baby in a manger. He was a young boy, and they were paying rent somewhere. They found a house in Bethlehem and had stayed there. Someone once wrote, what if it hadn't been three wise men? What if it had actually just been three wise women instead of three wise men? And I said, well, I don't know about this. So I read that article and said, well, first of all, they would have asked directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby, clean the stable, make a casserole, and they would have brought practical gifts. So that would have been the difference. History would be totally different if it weren't the three wise men. Christmas is such a rough time for all the cops that are out on duty tonight. The last thing they want to do is to arrest somebody and maybe give them a break unless they're doing something really badly. And Mickey and Karen and Sandy and I had dinner last night with a judge and his family. And he told us a story about after Christmas how he had a prisoner come before his bench. And the judge said, well, what are you charged with, sir? And the prisoner said, well, basically for doing my Christmas shopping early. The judge said, that's not an offense. How early were you doing this shopping? He said, well, before the store opened. So don't get in trouble this Christmas. Just go with the flow, Daddy-O. So first of all, we see the lineage of the king. You could say, well, why do we need all of this? You know, he begat Abraham, begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah. And the genealogy of the book of Jesus started this way. Very important that that's in the Bible. If it weren't in the Bible, you'd have just another book. But because it's in the Bible, it tells us it's very important. And we know that to the Jewish people, the genealogy means everything. And for it to be written down, because they didn't have printing presses at that time to just mass produce genealogies, that was really something to be able to prove where you started out and where your roots were. In fact, we know from the Old Testament concerning the lineage of the king, that if you were to be a priest, you had to go all the way from this first century or prior to his birth, whatever year it was, and go all the way back in your family to find your connection to Aaron, who was the head of the Aaronic priesthood for Moses. And if you couldn't find one year or one generation tied to the next, you were not allowed to be a priest. In fact, there is a story in the Old Testament where they took two priests out of office because they had actually lied about their genealogy. They wanted the position so badly. And when they finally searched their genealogy, they had missed a whole generation of people that they weren't related to. So the fact that the Bible tells us right off the bat from the first book in the New Testament where Jesus came from is extremely important. Because prior to the book of Matthew, you notice in your Bible, on the left side of it is the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi was the very last book to ever be written or a prophet to speak. From Matthew till Malachi was over 400 years of silence. The people of Israel had no word from the Lord. And so for us to open up the New Testament and see that we can trace Jesus all the way back to Abraham is an amazing thing. And we want to know the lineage of the king. Mnemonic reasoning, this is called. Otherwise, easy to memorize. When you got to the end of chapter 1, it says that in verse 17, all the generations from Abraham to King David were 14 generations. From David until the captivity, which was the time Jeremiah speaks of. And that was when Nebuchadnezzar, the king, took all the Jews out of Israel. From that time, David to then was 14 years, or generations. And then when they were released until Jesus was born was 14 generations. So we realize the lineage of the king was placed in a way because books weren't written, but you memorized it. It was put into 14 sections, three sets of 14 that they could remember. Abraham to David, David to Babylon, Babylon to Jesus Christ. And the genealogies were all kept by the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin were the religious rulers of Israel. And they were responsible for having the scribes write down everything. When the taxation came, that Joseph and Mary left Nazareth and came all the way about 72 or 3 miles south to the city of Bethlehem, it was for a census to be taken so the Romans would know who everyone was. And they would be able to find out where everyone was living. And they'd be better to control if they understood who they were related to. So the whole purpose of this vacation to Bethlehem was because of a government situation. And God used the government, believe it or not. He did. He actually used them to move Joseph down to his father's house in Bethlehem where David was born. And so the genealogies were kept by the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, who hated the Jews, Romans, found out that Herod was not a Jew. He was half Edomite. And the Jews and the Edomites didn't get along very well. So when his cover was busted that he wasn't pure, he had all genealogies destroyed in Israel so nobody could find that he didn't go all the way back to Abraham or Moses. And the fact that they rescued all these documents and saved them, it's like right now over the Christmas holidays, you may want to go to Balboa Park and see the Dead Sea Scrolls. These are the documents that were found down by the Dead Sea in the Qumran Caves by a shepherd boy many, many years ago. And when the Jewish scholars began translating these parchments, they found out that it was the exact prophecy of Isaiah. When the Bible scholars started taking the original language from these Dead Sea Scrolls and translating them into English, they found out that word for word, the King James Bible was 100% accurate. And to have these scrolls right here in our own city is an honor and a privilege. It's like these genealogies. They're able to go all the way back and say Jesus can be traced back to Abraham. And the priests, having to trace himself to Aaron, Jesus went further as a high priest and went to the father of faith, to Abraham himself. If a man were to say, I can find my genealogy, and he were to be married, if his wife could not go back at least 5 generations, even though he could go all the way back to Aaron, he was not allowed to be a priest. The second thing we see in the story about Jesus this evening is the presence of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is here right now with us. He's invisible. He's not like Casper the ghost with a pillowcase or somebody trying to scare you. His presence is here. And we know that the Lord Jesus said before he was crucified, it is expedient that I go, that the Holy Ghost may come, the Comforter, so that he can lead you and guide you into all truth. And we've seen over and over from the beginning that the Holy Ghost was with Mary. The child that was in her womb was pure because was created by the Holy Ghost. The angels declare the purity of the baby, and the presence of the Holy Ghost tells us that Jesus is pure. The Old Testament is quoted by the Holy Spirit in these short chapters, telling us the prophets proclaimed the coming of this baby. And the Holy Ghost teaches us the truth about Christmas, that there are many holidays celebrated on December 25th. But for the Christian community, it's about baby Jesus. For all you boys and girls, baby Jesus was real. But he grew up and he became a man. And he lived till he's 33 years old. And then he was crucified on a cross for a reason. Because the devil hated him and the people of this world hated him. But he was going to die so that you would never have to die. And that if you would just believe in your heart, the Bible says, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and with your own lips say that Jesus is Lord, you would be saved, and God would give you eternal life in your heart, that you could live in heaven with him and the angels and Jesus. So Jesus is the reason for the season if you believe in God. Now, Santa Claus is a whole different story. But, you know, Santa Claus reminds us that there are really four stages to life. All of your moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas here today, we all know that Santa Claus reminds us as we get older of the four stages of life. The first stage of life, of course, is that we believe in Santa Claus. And then the second stage in life, as we get a little older, we don't believe in Santa Claus. And then the third stage comes along and we are Santa Claus. And then, unfortunately, the fourth stage is we begin to look like Santa Claus. But Jesus is why we are here tonight, to love God and to thank him that his son, his only son, his only begotten son, was a baby and did come to this earth so that we could go to heaven, that he would be the entrance into heaven for each one of us. And the third and final point is the baby becomes a man to save us from our sins. Some people think that Jesus is just for certain people, but that's not true. Because in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the angels came to the shepherds, and in the sky they began to sing. And they said this, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy," and notice this, "which shall be to all people," not just some people. The good news is to every boy and girl, every mommy and daddy, every grammy and grandpa. It's for everybody in every country, no matter what color their skin is or what language they speak. Jesus is the good news for everyone. He came to bring us life. And the angels went on to say, "For unto you, personally, or to anybody you love, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So now we know that Jesus was a baby, but he became a man. And from the very beginning, everybody in heaven knew that he was going to be the Savior. "And this will be a sign unto you," the angel said. "You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now the Bible tells us that Jesus is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. There's nobody more powerful than him. The Bible tells us actually that God, his Father, used him to create everything from the raindrops to the sunshine to the stars. Tonight when you look at the moon, it'll be a full moon tonight and tomorrow night. And just to the right and a little above the moon, you're going to see a really big star. But it's not. It's the planet Mars. It's really close to us. It's 55 million miles away tonight. Really close. But it looks very large and it looks unusual. Imagine that you were one of these wise men or wise women, and you looked up and you knew. You see, we are told in the book of Daniel some warnings about Jesus coming. We're told in Micah about Jesus coming. These wise men were wise because they knew the scriptures. And if you learn about Jesus in the Bibles, you're going to be a wise person. So Jesus isn't just for certain people. He's for all of us. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No, not one of us can do the right thing without the Lord. The Bible says that all of us like sheep have gone astray, each and every one of us unto our own way. And there's none that does good. Jesus said to one man, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." And the only way that we can be good is to have our sins forgiven. And the only way we can have our sins forgiven is to ask God to forgive us in His Son's name, because Jesus was nailed to a cross for your sins. They put a crown of thorns like on a rose bush on His head, and they pushed it down really hard so blood was coming out. They beat His face with a rod. They spit upon Him. They called Him bad names. They pulled on His beard so hard that it took chunks of flesh off of His face. They took a hammer and nailed His hands to the cross. They nailed His feet to the cross. And all that time, instead of being angry or mad or saying, "I don't care about those people," instead He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Jesus loves you. He'll always love you. If you grow up and become a teenager and get in trouble, He'll still love you. If you grow up and become an old man like me, He'll still love you. If you just stay a little kid all your life, He'll still love you. Jesus will always love you. Some people think it's about their religion. It's not. It's about God and His love for you. I was in the post office today, and a woman went up to the post clerk, and she wanted to buy some stamps, she said, for her Christmas cards that she was mailing kind of late. And the postman said, "Well, ma'am, what denomination?" And she got so indignant and upset. "What denomination? Good heavens, has political correctness come to this? What is this? What denomination? Well, okay, give me 50 Baptists and 50 Catholics. That'll do it." But Jesus is for everyone. He's not just for one group. You see, because all the people have sinned. And Jesus came to die for all the people, not just some special ones. But I can tell you this, you become very special when you give your heart to Jesus. So when you go home and you get to open some presents, you thank your mom and dad that they brought you those presents. And you thank the Lord that He's in your house. And you thank God that He loves you so much that He wanted you to know about Christmas. And that you could know Him through His Son. Without Jesus, there wouldn't be Christmas, because the first part of that word is Christ. And it's about Him. Jesus is the reason for this season. And we want to love Him with all of our hearts and minds. So realize that this Christmas, Jesus is the King from the beginning. And when you get to heaven, you'd like to be able to trace Him in your heart all the way back to maybe tonight when you said, "God, forgive me, I am a sinner. And I ask Jesus to come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior." Allow the Holy Ghost to do for you what He did for Mary and what He did for Joseph and what He did for the wise men. Let Him teach you. Let Him give you the reason for the season by you picking up your Bible and beginning to read your Bible with your moms and dads and coming to know how much Jesus loves you. And then finally, let this baby that is in the manger, let Him become the Savior of your soul. And as you grow up, every year you get a little bit older, Jesus gets stronger in your life and you begin to love and to help people also. So let us stand and let us close with a word of prayer and thank the Lord for this great season, this great holiday, this great eve. And let's remember as we look at the moon and as we look at that huge planet to the side of the moon tonight, that the one who created all of that beauty is the same one who threw the stars out by His fingers. And the Bible says that He calls them all by name and He has them numbered. And so tonight, the one that is so powerful came down here and was born of a virgin, and He was raised by a mom and dad that loved God, and He grew up to go to a cross for you so that you could be forgiven and live forever with the people you love in heaven. Father, tonight we're so grateful to You for Your love for us, and we appreciate Your gift. And we thank You, Lord, it doesn't have a bunch of knots wrapped around it, that we have to struggle with trying to get this gift untied. We thank You, Lord, that it doesn't cost money because our piggy banks don't have enough. We thank You, Lord, that it doesn't take a plastic credit card to purchase this gift. We thank You, Lord, it's just by faith that we believe. And Lord, like these wise men, could You help us be wise that we would follow the bright light of life through Jesus Christ, and that You would take us as simple little children all the way home to heaven. And Father, as we have the roads that are broad that lead to destruction and the path that is narrow, let Your light shine upon our path, that it'll light up our way, that we'll all make it with the people we love into heaven. Bless these boys and girls and their mothers and fathers. Bless these families. And let this be a prosperous new year that is coming their way. And let this night be full of giggles and laughs and hugs and kisses and love. Let every home here be filled with Your love And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe some of you boys and girls, even the big ones, you want to make this bigger than the planet Mars and brighter by giving your heart to God. And very simply, in your heart, you have the right to allow the devil to live, the world to consume, or you have the right to choose to let God live in your heart and let the Holy Ghost clean your heart up. You have the freedom and the right to accept the responsibility that you have erred, that you have sinned, but you have the love and the forgiveness that you can be forgiven. And so tonight, if you will believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for your sins, buried in a grave, and that God raised him from the dead, tonight, if you will say, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, then God has the right to free you from the world and the devil and to fill your life with the Holy Ghost's love. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if it is your desire that you would like to accept God's gift to you, a forgiveness of sin and eternal life, while everybody else is praying, boys and girls, I'd like you just to look up at me and hold your hand up that I know that you want to ask Jesus into your life tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. One big girl, two little girls. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Is there anybody else? Yes, God bless you and you. Mommy and daughter, God bless you. God bless you. God bless the two of you. Yes, right over here. God bless you. Yes, up in the back row, I see you. Yes, I see another little person right over here peeking behind the big person. Yes, ma'am, the very last row. I see you, and I see you in front of her, and I see you on your tiptoes. Yes, sir, God bless you. Little girl raises her hand, goes back and gets her daddy to raise his hand. I love it. Anybody else? Yes, in the very last row. Over here on my left, way in the back there, I see one, two hands side by side, buddies, pals, shaking and waving. Three. That's wonderful. Yes, this little girl right here, I see you too. God bless you. What a wonderful gift to know that you can live forever with the Lord. What a wonderful plan that he would come here as a child to help us be simple and help us remember what it's like to be a child. Wish you could all be standing here seeing the eyes of these little boys and girls as they're looking at me. Yes, sir. God bless you. Thank you, Lord, for all these men and women and these dozens and dozens of boys and girls. May you honor their reach to you tonight, and may you reach down from heaven and take their little hearts in your hands and breathe eternal life into them. May you fill them overflowing with your love and keep them safe as they all drive to their parties, into their dinners, into their homes now, and fill their minds and their dreams not with sugar plums, but of Jesus and of these holy angels that will protect them and look after them and flood them with peace in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. God bless you.